If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Well, Mother's Day is over, so happy Mother's Day. I know Betty and I enjoyed Mother's Day. Her boys came, our boys came over. We made ribs. That's all she wanted was her boys on her Mother's Day. I wrote a column about how she almost killed me in the labor bed. She hated the tie I had on, and she grabbed it when she was in the Hinsdale Hospital. And she grabbed and said, "I told you not to wear this tie." And I was being dragged all across the delivery room. Thanks for a nurse to save me. And you know who needs a nurse right now? The city of Chicago. The city of Chicago needs an intensive care nurse because the moron in the fifth floor is not really taking care of business. And the wounds increase and fester, and no one is there in the city government to do anything about it. To talk about this with us is Ray Lopez, my friend and alderman of the 15th Ward. And I've seen him bravely face down the gangs in his neighborhood. Joining us, as always, Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio. My friend, future physics teacher, friend of Kat's, and husband to the lovely Christine. And me, I'm John Cass, editor of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of common sense. Join us, will you? Subscribe today, because journalism in this town is nowhere. It's all corrupt, and you have to get a couple ounces of penicillin if you read a paper in this town. And where are you as you're worried about being infected by your corrupt media? As the mayor of Chicago does nothing, you're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, the summer's heating up, the weather's getting warm, and the city has no plans on how to deal with crime and the takeovers and the kids in the streets. And who are we talking to today? None other than Ray Lopez, alderman of the 15th Ward, our friend and regular neighborhood guy. Thanks for joining us, Ray. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ray. Gentlemen, my pleasure to always be here, especially now that we have the Chicago Pope in my corner. We are very excited.
You are, huh? That's good.
Twitter is having a field day with that, that's for sure.
He's a Sox fan.
You know, it's nice to have an escape of happiness before we get down to the craziness that we know is coming in the next few weeks once Memorial Day and 80-degree weekends start hitting the city of Chicago.
Well, that's what I'm worried about because, you know, we have mayor panic attacks on the fifth floor still holding on to his amazing, 4 or 6% approval rating, whatever he's got.
Six.
6%. My God. And Tony Perkwinkle, does she know him now or does she not know him?
I believe that the doors have been shut separating City Hall and the county building for a few months now. Before, it used to be because she didn't want them coming over. And I think now she doesn't want the stain going onto her side of the building.
And all that's happening, Ray, while the mayor of Chicago undercuts the plan to provide safe spaces for kids to play. I'm talking about Chicago's 2025 Play Streets program.
Yep.
Tell us about the program and what it's about and what is the mayor doing to it. I hear he's cutting it. He's only going to fund it in black neighborhoods. And he's telling the Latinos to back off, step off the corner. Yeah.
I think he's telling them to go scratch and stand on the corner, to be perfectly honest with you, because I think for the past 12 years, Play Streets was a public health department program that was operated in 41 neighborhoods across the city of Chicago, 41 communities. And it served African-American, Latino, you name it, and was actually oftentimes used to create safe spaces in areas that had seen high amounts of gang violence, high amounts of unhealthy space and outdoor spaces for youth and families. And basically what it would entail is coming together and taking over a block is like a city-funded block party, basically. And it was a very popular, very effective, and in many communities, something that residents often enjoyed and looked forward to. And this year, under the cover of darkness, the mayor and his public health commissioner decided that it was in the best interest of the entire city to constrict and restrict this program to just 8 neighborhoods, 4 on the south side, 4 on the west side. As the best use of city dollars, not expanding something that we know works, but only limiting it so that now you have to find all new partners in 4 specific neighborhoods to try to service people who we know, like so many communities, definitely need safe and active spaces. But unfortunately, rather than build out and blow out the program, it's now only going to those, as I said, those 4 predominantly African-American communities. In what I think is just a very veiled attempt to try to put more money, resources, and dollars into his friends' pockets to try to win back their support after becoming so disenchanted with the black community over his handling of the migrant asylum seekers in the city of Chicago, where he would put and fund them first over his own communities.
And it's not limited to just this program. Is that true? I mean, it seems like this is not the first time, or it's the MO for him.
This is just the tip of the iceberg, and we know that there are some individuals, some investigative reporters that are looking into this, digging deeper, who are identifying other similar patterns in other programs. I also know, for example, talking to one of my ward's theater companies that focuses on involving youth in theater, not just in acting, but in all of the mechanics involved in putting on productions. And they were told as well that all of the funding from DCASE, the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, has been constricted and restricted to other neighborhoods. And that this year, all non-African-American organizations are going to have to consider it a gap year, which means that they have to come up with all of their funding on their own without city's involvement, because everything has been redirected to other areas of the city, specific areas of the city. And it shouldn't be lost on us that in roughly 1 year's time, you're going to have the mayor presumably sending out petitions to get reelected, aldermanic allies trying to get reelected. And I'm sure the mayor wants to show that he has solidified at least a base for all of his supporters and allies, particularly in the black community, to try to jump and springboard into reelection. And the only way he can do that, quite frankly, with a broken CTU bank is to start using the public piggy bank is his own personal political account.
So he gets a benefit, in your mind, from cutting these Play Streets, right?
Yes, because Play Streets is a program that requires delegate partners, not-for-profits.
Yeah.
And as you know, not-for-profits are the next generation of patronage here in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
So as we see that, you know, over 150 events happen in the summer with Play Streets,
right,
all of those events offer money to these not-for-profits for putting those events on. And if you constrict it to just 4 neighborhoods, you're going to make, 6 or 7 different organizations very happy as they start skimming 15% of whatever you give them off the top for themselves.
Of course they will. It's called shrinkage. We tried. We ran out of the balloons. What are those balloons that blow up? And
right. The bounce house cost $30,000. I don't know.
Bouncy house. Yeah.
We'll call it warm weather shrinkage.
All right. So I can understand where you, if you want to focus on your ethnic group, but what it seems to Johnson is doing is he wants to advertise that he's hurting another ethnic group. I'm hurting, in other words, here's Johnson. I am hurting the Latinos, so black people who are already upset with me and other black Democrats over our handling of immigration are now going not to be mad at me. Is that his logic? Is that how it works in his mind?
Yeah, if I understood the mayor's logic, that would be one thing. But I would say that that's a very plausible way to say, look, I've taken from them after everything I've given them, because the mayor likes lumping Venezuelans with Mexicans and Puerto Ricans because,
you know, we kind of all are the same. Yeah.
We all talk alike, apparently. So I guess that's what his goal is. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to see the complete politicization of City Hall in ways that we haven't, that I don't think even Mayor Daley 1 or 2 could have imagined. And it's really something remarkable to see the so-called governmental do-gooders be some of the most corrupt, inept, and untransparent people ever to be at 121 North LaSalle.
Well, the door's always open at 219 Dearborn. I'd offer this up to President Trump and his attorney general. Wake up, because you've got these people in Chicago who are desperate to break the law and get into prison, in my view. And it's maybe a change of pace from just putting old 80-year-old Irish guys in jail, right? Might be a different thing.
Hooker by crook is what they would say.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, so I know one thing that's not facing shrinkage is the budget in the city. And you've been kind of ringing the bell on this and trying to will the mayor to spend less, cut some stuff. But that doesn't seem like it's in the cards, is it?
No, this budget and this administration are hell-bent on trying to shift as much of the COVID-era spending onto taxpayers as possible. That's why they like claiming the city's broke and that angry at Donald Trump, because a lot of what is in the city's budget comes from the federal government. And they were already trying to pivot even before Donald Trump returned to the White House. He just makes for a useful foil right now to put the blame on. But when you only have a city that takes in roughly just under $2 billion in property taxes and another $3 billion in fines, fees, and what have you, there's only so much you could spend. And that's always been the case. And the city of Chicago takes in about $6 billion in its corporate fund and has roughly $12 billion in total revenues across all departments, all streams, but somehow manages to have a $17 billion operating budget.
Jeez.
So what we don't have in federal money, which is roughly $3 billion, we borrow to cover the rest. And we borrow every single year, almost to the tune of $1 billion in debt to cover the deficit spending that we have. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure if I'm making $100,000, I can't spend like I'm making $150,000 and then just keep taking out a loan every year to cover the other $50,000.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what the city of Chicago has been doing. And it's not something unique to Brendan Johnson.
Right.
Lori, Rahm all did it because that was something that Richard M. was a masterclass teacher in, borrowing to cover what you don't have. But everyone has always said that kicking the can mentality has to come to an end. Unfortunately, Brendan Johnson is one who has not only increased our borrowing, but increased our spending simultaneously while trying to pretend that he's some sort of a fiscal savant and responsible individual. You know, he's done the exact opposite, which is increased spending and increased debt. And on top of that, his latest scheme, which we just saw pass at City Council this week, the Green Social Housing Initiative, now will create a city-sponsored not-for-profit to collect from Chicago taxpayers $135 million in the hopes of creating new housing in the city of Chicago.
Where's the housing going?
Well, you know, they like to say that they're creating housing in areas that need it with reduced AMI. And that it's, you know, they keep pretending like it's going to lift up the housing stock in African-American and Latino communities. But make no mistake, guys, this ordinance is a poor white renter's ordinance so that white folks who can't afford Lincoln Park can stay in Lincoln Park. That those hipsters that came into communities like Logan Square that gentrified it and now find themselves unable to afford it will now be able to stay in those neighborhoods. The ones who are going to be paying for it are the entire taxpayers of the city of Chicago who are on the hook for the first $135 million out of what is basically a $1.25 billion housing bond that the mayor passed with the city council about 3 months into his term and is only now starting to take legs. But anytime you have, as you know, a not-for-profit or delegate agencies who get money, they take their percentage off the top. So you're going to see at least 15%. They have it capped supposedly at roughly $12 million over the next 5 years. I don't necessarily believe that. But then everyone they give subsequent money to is going to take their 15% off too. So by the time you start getting out to the subcontractors and actual workers, you're probably going to see half this money soaked up by these organizations.
Well, what do we do? I mean, where you guys have, you've been working on this, but where does the city cut? I mean, if you had the levers, let's say, hey, you're the mayor now. Where do we cut? Where do we save money?
Well, first off, you retract all the raises you gave everybody last year.
Ugh.
And if they don't want to give back their raises, then you give them furlough days. And it doesn't even have to be the union guys, because there were plenty of non-union exempt employees in the city of Chicago who got $10, $15, $20,000 raises across all departments.
How can they afford their Lexus without that raise?
They'll take out a PPP loan. I don't know. I'm sure they can figure it out. I mean, if you are having hard times, you have to make hard decisions. And that's something that this mayor has not wanted to do because, as I said, he's just going to borrow and cover it. But right now, you need to take back those raises, restrict it somehow, either through furlough or through salary adjustments. You need to bring some of these departmental spending to pre-pandemic levels, because we've seen that nearly $700 million in bloat has happened since the 2020 budget alone. A lot of that because of that federal COVID money that Lori Ann Johnson decided to turn into jobs they want to keep. And you have to squeeze harder. You have to make sure that we're getting what we pay for and that we're doing it correctly. I think we had this conversation last time I was on the show where the city pays double for what private people pay for it. That's insane. We need to start addressing these things.
This is really worrying me because I don't need a bunch of Chicago people moving into my neighborhood. And people are going to be freaking out. Because ultimately, the people are the ones who get screwed, right? They're the ones who get stuck.
It'll be the poor taxpayers who can't afford it that'll be stuck with the bill. Because everyone with money that moved into the city because they loved what it had to offer 4 years ago will be the first ones out the door. And those usually are those same lefty progressives saying, oh, you know, no cash bail. Oh, no police. Oh, more bike lanes. First ones out the door, because they're not real Chicagoans. And I think that's something that I've been trying to articulate, is that we know the difference between the transplants and the natives. I'm proudly a native, which is why I have no for shame in saying that, because no matter what happens, I'm not going anywhere. But I know that there are those who are financially able to bolt at the first sign of trouble, and they will. And they will have left us with a failed social experiment, everything that I listed and more that has gone wrong, that they're not responsible for, as they move out to somewhere else to start their nonsense all over again.
I hope you don't blame me for leaving. I left a while ago.
Well, it's never been the same. And I know that, you know, one day there'll be a reconciliation between you and Greg Pratt. And I can't wait to see that.
But I don't know. Greg Pratt has his own issues now with his alderman is the park boss, right? Isn't it? What's his name?
Carlos Ramirez Rosa.
Carlos Ramirez Rosa. I love the three names. Yeah. Now, speaking of which, where's the media in all this, the Chicago media, I mean, I like to mock them, but I mean, in real terms, are people articulating the issues that have to be, I don't even look at it anymore. Are people articulating, bringing up what are the issues that you're talking about?
No.
Or do they not even deal with it?
No, I think media is really struggling, particularly legacy, mainstream media, however you want to call them.
Right.
Is struggling and has been struggling for a number of years, even before the pandemic, but the pandemic definitely put them in a tailspin downward that I don't think they've recovered. And nowhere is that more evident when you had like Lori Lightfoot forcing reporters to be single file with a single reporter asking singular questions alone in a room wearing a mask 20 feet apart. And now you have our current mayor, Brendan Johnson, trying to force, you know, on topic only press conferences. And, you know, we're going to cut you out if you ask me anything other than what I want to talk to you about. You know, there used to be a time when journalists would chase you down, like we saw Marianne Ahern do to Johnson.
Yeah. But
the Pam Zekmans and Carol Marines of the world, they didn't care what your on-topic question was. If they wanted to know an answer, they were going to push you for an answer and weren't afraid of it. And I think right now, a lot of the current generation of journalists have a level of timidness, that I think doesn't do Chicago or their respective outlets any justice.
Jeff, do you agree with this outrage that Alderman Lopez is describing for us, where you've got a bunch of neutered reporters? That old City Hall pack that I was a part of is now City Hall lambs or City Hall steers? Is that what it is? No bulls anymore, right?
It certainly is true. I mean, the mayor's office has just an enormous comms department that is, you know, looking for every little positive piece of news and tamp down any negative news. And if you criticize the mayor, you're never going to get an interview. You're never going to get one-on-one. And that's what it seems like is, you know, the thing that all these outlets want. They want to have a headline, which I don't understand, because the mayor never says anything of value. Right. It's all nonsense. And most of it comes from that they're not holding him accountable for things and saying, hey, you know, why are you ruining our credit rating again? You know, why are we being downgraded once more? You know, where is all this money going? Those questions aren't getting asked. It's, oh, congratulations, you have made another, you know,
right,
checkbox higher here or a checkbox higher there, or you announced some program that'll never see the light of day and someone's going to fill their pockets on. But there's never any follow up there. And it's all this, well, if we don't play nice, we're never going to get his access to him. Well, you know, play mean and make him come to you. I mean, I don't understand why we don't do it.
And journalism is not just a matter of copy and pasting press release.
Yeah.
Lord knows I send out plenty, but I, you know, I have no issue when a journalist or reporter or TV personality comes into the office, want to ask questions. I don't ask for what the questions are going to be. You know, that used to be a great hallmark of Chicago politicians, being able to answer anything on the fly. And now the mayor on down don't do that. And what we also see is that because the newsrooms have been so disinvested in, and there's so many cutbacks, as you know, and so few resources put into journalism as a whole, you know, when you look at even take just this 2 years of this administration.
It's only been 2 years, Ray.
Oh, my God. These are the longest 2 years of our life. But when you think about it, who's done any follow-up on what happened in the first 6 months of his administration? Remember when he was going to sue Kia for having cars that were stealable?
Right.
Oh, all those other nonsensical things that he wanted to do back then that everyone wrote about? Or, you know, he just announced. And what got me thinking about this was that there's an email invitation that he sent out for his Cut the Red Tape initiative, which hasn't done squat since a year ago. We're already celebrating its anniversary, but I know all the press is going to be going gaga over, oh, 1 year of cutting the tape, without asking, what the hell have you actually cut? And we know the answer, but, you know, there has to be some institutional memory, and if not, then some institutional safeguards to ensure that, you know, we're not just jumping from headline to headline, from craziness to craziness, because that's all journalism is right now in Chicago. there's so much going wrong and sideways in this city that street takeovers on State Street in front of Channel 7 don't even raise an eyebrow with the producers over there.
That's why I have to break in, gentlemen, for a public service announcement. If you're tired of the nonsense in media reporting and all the screaming and the hand-wringing, you need to go to a place where you can get a good cup of common sense. And that's why I ask you to join me and other journalists who are writing for John Cass News and get your cup of common sense. Just $50 a year. You read me, Dan Proft, other people. Jeff Carlin makes the commercials. They're great. You get a sense of what's really happening. And one thing we want to ask you, Raymond, speaking of Lori Lightfoot, and I know you pine for her now. You miss her. You're like, Lori, I love you, Lori.
I miss her like a hemorrhoid. Yes.
I know you do, but I'm thinking, you know, there was a time when, you know, she had a force behind her. She was forceful. She bragged, at least it was said that she bragged, that she had the greater manhood of any Italian in Chicago. Remember? I have the greatest manhood in the Chicago area.
Yep.
Greater than any.
Dingus Maximus.
Yeah, we called her Fellas, Mayor Fellas Maximus, right. And now I'm wondering what happened to the Christopher Columbus statues with Louis Rego on one side and Ron Anesti on the other, cutting a deal. And now for change, amazing change, Louis Rego is not mad at me, but Ron Anesti is, I guess, a little peeved. And the people, the Italian people, still don't have statues of Christopher Columbus. And speaking as a person who was, you know, whose ancestors were directly affected by the great colonizer, what have you to say, Ray?
Well, being both Mexican, Polish, and Italian, I get a great perspective, which is I'm just glad the statues are coming out of hiding wherever they've been mothballed. And while many in the community are not happy that they're not going back to their original location.
Like my wife? Yes, she doesn't like it.
At least they are coming out.
You know, they're not coming out, though, sir.
They're going to be placed at the on the northwest side.
If they're going to be placed in a museum that Ron Anesti controls, that's not coming out. It has to go into the parks.
Because it's never going to happen under this administration. And I think that, you know, as much as it's not something that is perfect for us, because perfect would be to put them back.
Yeah.
Perfect would be to put Columbus back on his pedestal at the mouth of Columbus Drive. Perfect would be to have him back at Arrigo Park. But we know that this administration, this mayor, surrounded by his leftinos and socialist allies, want nothing to do with anything that they don't approve. And, you know, as we mentioned, my colleague, a former colleague, Carlos Ramirez Rosa, was also one of those who supported removing those statues. And he's the head of the park district. So you got two government units whose leaders do not support anything to do with Christopher Columbus. It's not going to happen. But if we want to see them and make sure that they aren't lost to Chicago's history or somehow damaged while being put in a storage somewhere, I would rather have them out where we know where they are and where they can be still seen than just mysteriously left to the city hall basement waiting to see the light of day.
Personally, I wouldn't mind them going to Elmwood Park. Skippy Saviano should take them.
I'm sure Skip would probably take them. I'm sure the mayor of Melrose Park would probably love to have them. Even maybe Berwyn, even Cicero might take them. But those are Chicago icons. And, you know, for right now, we need to just do what we need to do just to get them back in the sunlight, and then push for a mayoral change that will gladly put them where they rightfully belong.
Speaking of which, are you running for mayor?
I'm running the Chicago Marathon.
That's such a dodge.
But an artful one, nonetheless.
It is very artful. But you know, we've got a Greek running for mayor right now, Maria Pappas. I don't know why. I don't know if she did Maria Pappas support Vallis when he ran for mayor? I don't know. And now we have Alexi Giannoulias running. What's he running for? I saw the last time I saw him, he had his sunglasses on and the clouds were covering the sky. I don't understand that. It was like a dark day and he had the sunglasses on.
Maybe their prescription.
It's like that. It's like that song from the 80s. My future's so bright, I got to wear shades.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I mean, it's too early. I get that.
So where are you? Come on, buddy. Where are you? As Ray Lopez contemplates a run for mayor on the Chicago way. Ray Lopez, let's hear it.
Look, I've been in that race before, as you know. And I think that if people want me, then I'm happy to do it if they put their money where their mouth is. I'm not going to just jump in and be a sacrificial lamb or a name just to be in there or for my own ego. I've also learned two administrations in a row, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't need to be the mayor to be the counterpoint of common sense in the city of Chicago. I think I've very clearly made a lane for myself as being someone who people believe is honest and direct with regards to government and what I believe. And I think that, you know,
people work hard
and I know how to do things in city council, which I would say probably 45 out of 50 aldermen do not. So,
and it's like after 10 o'clock, you're still sober. You're not like some other people.
After 10 o'clock, I'm at
10:30.
10 a.m.
And I'm talking about 10 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Early to bed, early to rise. That's me.
Just so we're clear on this, Ray Lopez is completely a sober individual and carefully thinking individual. And I think
today,
you're right.
Yes.
I think you're right. If people want you to run, they have to come up with the money.
Yeah. And I think that people in the city are more aware of what's going on than at any point before. I think that while there are many individuals contemplating a run, Chicagoans need to know exactly why people are willing to jump in. Are they just trying to do it for their own egos? Are they doing it as a stepping stone? Or are they doing it to actually deal with the tough issues that are facing the city of Chicago? The next mayor is not going to have a cakewalk walking into 121 North LaSalle. The next mayor is going to have a maelstrom of bad decisions coming full force at him or her that they're going to have to contend with and know how to tell people no. Know how to tell people we need to make some tough decisions. Know how to have moral convictions that you live by and not just say things to get through the moment. And I think Chicago's at one of those inflection points where do they want just a show pony who checks off the boxes and makes them feel good, Linkin Park? Or are they going to want somebody who's a workhorse who, yeah, it may not be your 100% cup of tea, but is definitely going to pull the tractor and the plow forward?
Hey, the city needs it. I mean, we're so many decisions, we mix, you know, lay a lot of them out here one after another that are just need to be made the right way and are clearly being made for ulterior motives. One of the ones, I mean, we've seen and it's hampered the city and it's not going to make getting federal funding any easier is that the idea of the sanctuary city, the city is hands off. And I'm sure it's only a matter of time before someone puts on one of these, you know, demonstration shows of support that we're seeing around the country of seeing in, you know, Jersey and in Wisconsin and in Nevada, where, you know, saying, oh, you know, we're going to stand in the way of ICE or whoever trying to get violent people out of the country. What do you say to the policymakers who aren't letting that go?
What we have to remember is that, first off, Donald Trump's going to be in office for the next 4 years. He's only been in office for, 3 months now? 4 months, roughly? Mm-hmm.
A little over 100 days, yeah.
A little over 100 days. 1,300 more to go. We've already seen numerous high-profile Democrats going to the White House, trying to find ways moving forward. Gretchen Whitmer, from Michigan, comes to mind, where she was caught on camera and then tried to hide for being there. But they're trying to figure out paths forward because they know that they need the federal government. And if there are ways that we can figure out how to live our values while also evolving to try to help not be a target of the president's ire, we should be doing that. We should be doing everything we can do for the greater good of our city and our state, for that matter. And right now, you know, you have so many elected officials who are in the closet Trump supporters because he gives them a purpose to exist. He gives them a reason to rail, a reason to fight, a reason to be angry, even though they're not accomplishing anything for their residents. And sanctuary cities are just one example of that. Here in the city of Chicago, that law only had to be tweaked, and it would have only jeopardized roughly 2,000 people out of tens of thousands. 2% of the population of undocumented non-citizens here, or I should say of non-citizens overall, but including the long-term undocumented, because they were identified under the Biden administration as being dangerous individuals to our national interest, let alone our city, but our national interest. And those are who Homan was looking for. And all Tom Homan wanted to hear, all President Biden wanted to hear, was that if you arrest them, you're going to turn them over. If you arrest that cartel member, that child trafficker, that pedophile, that individual, you would call us when they were in custody, and so we can come get them.
What happened?
The mayor, city council, and everyone said, no, they're entitled to due process. And if you want them, go in the neighborhoods and find them yourself. And what did we get in return? We have $3 billion in grants to the city of Chicago in jeopardy starting next year. We have a 50% collateral capture rate, meaning that they are grabbing non-citizens, but the wrong ones, the grandmas, the parents, that people who have no record but are non-citizens that they weren't looking for but aren't going to let back out into the street. Rather than turn the dangerous individuals over if they're arrested or in the jail system, you know, we force ICE to go into neighborhoods to look for these folks, and we're going to continue to force it under these leaders as long as Trump's in office.
Isn't that what the left wants? Chaos?
Of course. They want the photo op of the crying baby. They want the photo op of the family being ripped apart. They want the photo op of someone wearing ICE uniforms coming into your neighborhood. They don't want to work together. They don't want to find solutions. They just want to make sure that they have somebody to be angry and point the finger at to distract from all of their own political failures. As, for example, whatever happened to, and when the Democrats were in control, passing the Dreamers Act and giving a pathway to citizenship to all those DACA eligible youth that were brought here as children by their parents and have only known one country as their own. Obama promised them a path, Biden promised them a path, and yet 12 years of failure, now it's Trump's fault.
As we sit here, the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Panic Attacks himself, Mayor Johnson, is at the midpoint of his midterm of his term. He now, as he approaches the midpoint of this term, he's got to think, I've dug myself a hole, right? He's got to think he has dug himself into a ditch. I don't know what he's going to do. What do you think he's going to do, Ray?
Well, the mayor fully believes that all of the 6% ratings and all of this anger and animosity toward him is just a fictional response of politics against him because he's a black man with a black family, with a black wife.
And a black wife raising black kids, as he says, all the time, over and over.
Yeah, he puts no connection with his own performance and his own lackluster ability to actually deliver on anything that he initiates as to the reason why people do not support him. He doesn't understand that the African-American community, black voters, are so angry with him over his handling of the migrant asylum seekers and his willingness to move heaven and earth to put together hundreds of millions of dollars for them at the expense of their communities. None of that registers to him. And he's going to try to pivot in the next year harder to his bait, his demographic base that he's trying to recapture, and hope that in saying it enough, people on the South and West sides will fall for, well, I guess since he said it 2,000 times. It must be because the entire system is rigged against him. Never mind the city of Chicago has voted back-to-back African-American mayors. And as I said, in his first Black History Month together in 2024, you know, when you control every level of power, lever of power in the city, with African Americans leading the most number of departments and committees and council responsibilities, you really have no one else to blame but yourselves at this point, if nothing has changed in your neighborhoods. And he and many others were very angry that I said that, but yet the communities that are the ones impacted knew exactly what I was stating and knew exactly that that's not just a swipe because they're Black. It's a swipe because you are Black and should be taking care of your people. And there's no reason or an excuse you can give at this point anymore that makes sense when you are the one holding all the cards, when you're head of schools, head of police, head of state's attorney's office, head of the county, and half a dozen other departments should all know what the lived experience of the Black community is, and you still fail and suck at helping them.
Well, he's got, let's see what he's got. He's got that school board debacle. He's got the issue about how he didn't clean the house, whatever that means to him, quickly and immediately. He's got a falling out with Governor Pritzker. You see that improving?
No.
An ongoing dispute with the Chicago firefighters.
And Troy Preckwinkle, who won't say his name.
He's a lonely man, isn't he?
Yeah. But as long as Stacey Davis Gates calls him every day to tell him what a good job he's doing, happy.
There it is. Ray Lopez running for mayor if we want him.
Chicago knows where to find me. Probably chasing a dog somewhere.
Ray, I like you. I don't want you to run because you're a good man. I don't. To do the job right, you'd have to anger the whole city. And you'd have to, everybody you know will have to be upset to do the job right. And then there's no guarantee that it would even come about.
Right now, Chicago needs a Winston Churchill. Chicago needs to realize that we are in a war of epic proportion for the soul of this city, to use the mayor's terms. And if we are not willing to stand up and do, and yeah, whoever's mayor, if you want to save the city, you're going to go out being reviled and probably hated. But that's what's going to be necessary if you want to change the course of where we're headed right now. Because we are 1 foot over the ledge right now. And either we're going to elect a mayor who not only takes us to both feet at the ledge, but also a step back, or someone who does the cannonball because they're too oblivious to what is really going on in the city of Chicago. And that's where we find ourselves right now.
Ray Lopez, thanks for joining us and being with us today on the Chicago Way podcast.
Gentlemen, go say your rosaries. Pray for for Pope Leo XIV. And may his papacy rub off on the White Sox, who need some sort of victory right about now.
I think as a Greek Orthodox, I get special dispensation yes. To take a Catholic wafer on behalf of the Pope and the White Sox. So
you could have a baptized Italian beef. That's all we're going to give you.
Blasphemy.
Thanks,
Ray Lopez. Thanks,
all right, guys.
Thank you. For Ray Lopez, alderman of the 15th Ward, back of the yards, man who cares about his city, still trying to fight for it. For Jeff Carlin, future physics teacher, husband to the lovely Christine, friend of cats, and the guy who makes the commercials for John Cass News. And for me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, as journalism falls apart in Chicago, you need a place to go. You need a place where you can get a good cup of common sense. Join us today. $50 a year. Subscribe. Join the reach for independent journalism. And thanks for everybody for listening and being with us today. And see you again next time on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.